and the reading of the scriptures by bus, and we're just so grateful today that we can be here together, and appreciate Tommy and getting up and making some announcements. And in that announcement, about Sister Katie Black, Bobby Black passed away, and Gail Kirby, that's his sister, called me on Friday before I had the call tree, and she said, "Brother Guy," she said, "the family has decided that Mother is so fragile at this time that we would really prefer not anyone saying anything to her about the death of her son. And we certainly want to respect that and pray for Katie and for all the family today in their bereavement because of the passing of Bobby Black." I believe that covers it, Tommy. Isn't that right? And we really are so concerned, and we want you to know how good you are. Tommy even told me Friday that he'd gotten calls about where do we take food. And I love that. Knowing that people here in this congregation is so attentive and wanting to do everything you can. And we have so many that want to do that. And we want everybody to do what you can do for each other. Well, we had a great meeting. Appreciate, as Tommy said, the good sermons by Steve. I've known him 30 or 40 years. And what a joy it is to know that there are people like him out there. He's going to Power Ferry over in Atlanta to start a meeting today. Pray for him. Have you read the letter? In 3 John, John wrote, and I'm going to talk about the first 8 verses this morning, so if you get your Bible out, if you will. And then we're going to talk about the rest of it tonight, about being imitators. And here we read, and we're so concerned about what John is writing in a letter. Letters. Letters. Ever so often I see Tommy taking letters over and hand them to Glenn, or Glenn taking letters over there, and then they get over here to Jeff, and they get letters. Letters from preachers that want support, and letters from preachers that they are supporting. And this is a matter of trying to keep in contact, and letters, carrying the letters and being so concerned. I got to tell you about this as I start. Try to go back, if you can, back to the 1950s. Can you believe there was a fellow by the name of Guy McDaniel that was a young man back in the 50s? And I was working at age 17 with a company called the Globe Paper Company at 1506 Superior Avenue in downtown Cleveland, Ohio. Started when I was 17, got me a good office job. Boy, I was really... And then when I turned 18, June the 24th, I went to a wedding about a month or so later. And I saw the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life. Her name was Doran Fuller. And she doesn't like me to call her Dora. Ann Fuller. I met her. She was up there from Russellville, Alabama, for the wedding of her sister. And I took her out. We went to church services together. That was one thing so impressive, that she loved to go to church. Her daddy was up there, and they were going to stay for a whole week. And I'm working at Globe Paper Company, and boy, every night when I'd get off, I'd call her up and I'd say, "You want to go out?" And we went to this place and that place. Her daddy on Wednesday decided you could cut his time up short, come back short. I didn't like that. But anyway, she left and came back to Russellville, Alabama, but we corresponded. And I'd write her a letter. My grandmother passed away in August. That gave me an opportunity to come back to Russellville, Alabama. I got to see Ann, and we've been writing letters. You know, back in 1954, you could send an airmail letter for 3 cents. Can you imagine? And I would put those letters and I'd send those letters to Aunt Therese, and her daddy'd go out to the mailbox, and her daddy would come back sometimes. They'd be crossing the mail and have two or three letters. And he'd say to Ann, here's your letters from that guy up in Cleveland, Ohio. Started those letters off, I used to, and I wish I'd brought some of them and shared a few. No, she wouldn't let me do that. First it was Dear Ann. And then it got My Dearest Ann. And then after we got closer and closer, I got the nerve to put on My Darling Ann. Things are going good, aren't they? She's 700 miles away from me. Letters. And we still have some of those letters. Letters are so important. I want to tell you something. In the Bible, look what the Bible has to say about letters. Before Paul's conversion on his trip to Damascus, what did he do? He carried letters from the high priest demonstrating His authority to imprison Christians. In Acts 18, verse 27, the Bible tells us, it's evident that some there in the church, when Apollos left Ephesus and went into Achaia, the Ephesians wrote letters. Then we read over in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 3, Paul writing there about the letters that were being written to Jerusalem, that they would take these letters that those brethren wrote, showing that they wanted them to have the contribution that was being made for the poor saints. As a matter of fact, in Acts 15, verse 20, there was a conference of the brethren, and they're making a decision. Whatever Christians were supposed to do, did they have to be circumcised? Did they have to keep the law of Moses? And guess what they did? Their conclusion was, let's write unto the brethren and tell them what they are to do. That was exactly what they did, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. And elders, as I mentioned a while ago, they get letters. We're all interested in what the early church was like. Let's look at a letter. Have you opened the letter? Have you read the letter? I suggest to you, here, John is writing. And John is writing a letter, and he's writing a letter to these brethren, and one that he speaks of that he loves so very much, and that was Gaius. Notice, if you will, in these first few verses, that Gaius' name is spoken of. John, he writes, the elder unto the beloved Gaius. He used that expression, the beloved Gaius. Who was Gaius anyway? Five times his name is mentioned in the Bible. Acts 19:29, Acts 20, verse 4, Acts 16:23, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14, and 3 John, verse 1. It was a common name. It was a Roman name. And you cannot really ascertain actually whether or not the Gaius that John is writing to was the Gaius and all these others. But we know something about the Gaius that John was writing to. He was a very dear friend of John. He loved John. John loved him. He was a person that was very faithful. He was an example of hospitality. And he was a fellow helper of the truth of God. Listen to the words. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. John, what are you saying? I love this man. This man is really important. This man is walking in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You're reading a letter. You're reading a letter from a close friend to another close friend, from one brother to another brother. And God chose to use that letter or include that letter in the book of God. It's important. We learn something. Learn something about the church of the Lord. It was made up of people a whole like you and I. And notice that the Bible says, John desired Gaius to be healthy physically as he was matured spiritually. Boy, you see a person that's sick today, and if you can go up to that person who's sick physically, and you can talk to that individual and say, I hope that you get better just like your soul is better. That individual is serving God faithfully. That's what John says about Gaius. What a wonderful characteristic to be able to say, though your health is bad physically, I hope that you get better just like your soul is in the sight of God. Wow. John said he had heard from the brethren about Gaius, who was living in the truth and was walking in the truth. And he says, I have no greater joy than to know that. Truth is so important. Why truth? First of all, because it makes you free. Brethren, are you walking in the truth? Do you know the truth? In John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Why the truth? Because you're getting something that you don't want to let go. Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth, sell it not. Do you know the truth? You know what the Bible tells you to do to be saved, and yet you haven't done it? Do you know what the Bible tells you to do as a child of God, as a Christian, as a husband, as a wife, as an individual that is trying to live right before God? Look at the Word of the Lord. Make sure you turn to the truth. It's the Word of God. In John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. And it's God's power to save. In Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. When I was preaching over at Sheffield, there was a man by the name of Bob Foster. Bob Foster was not a Christian, but he was going to do one thing, and that was to prove what I was preaching was false. He came to church services with his wife. And he said he never would forget where I pointed out in Matthew chapter 14, where John the Baptist was beheaded. And then I pointed out in John 16 that John could not possibly have been the head of the church, or the Bible tells us he was already beheaded. You remember Jesus in Matthew 16, verse 18, upon this rock I will build my church. John's dead. When Jesus saw John, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, of them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than he. Why? Never in the kingdom. Can you imagine have a tombstone on your tombstone that you would have written on there a follower or a disciple of John the Baptist? John, in John 3, verse 30, said, I must decrease, but he, speaking of Christ, must increase. John never was in the kingdom of God. He never was in the church. Why call the church after him? True, surely, as John writes, and he says to Gaius, you're a man that's walking in the truth. And he said to Gaius, you're faithful in your Christian living. Look what he says. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing to the Gentiles. You helped them. You supported the brethren. Gaius, you're a man that's known among brethren. And because of your great diligence and your faithfulness to God, surely you're a man that is exalted and is praised. I want to suggest to you, my friends, those who are faithful today, we know where we're going, don't we? We know our objective, don't we? We want to go, when we die, to heaven. Every person in this building, people that are so dedicated to God, that love the Lord, guess what? We want to hear those words. We want to live those words. In Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write. Are you reading the letter? John said of Gaius, you are faithful. You're serving the Lord faithfully. And that's what we want to be said about us. And he said in Revelation 14, verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors. And it's going to come. It's going to come to those of us who love the Lord just like Gaius did. He was faithful, and if we're faithful, we'll be where Gaius is. Won't that be wonderful? Who's faithful today? Those who want to please God. All of our objectives surely would be, I want to live right that I might please God. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What a wonderful thing to know that you and I can actually live to be acceptable and pleasing to our God. Now we want our children to be faithful to God. We want our children to be right with God. The only way we can do that is set the good example. Set example to show them that the most important thing in our lives is seeking first the kingdom of God. Those who want to be in life, what they want to be after death. As Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Gaius, you're faithful unto the Lord. Gaius, I've heard of your faith. I heard that you're walking in truth. And Gaius, I have no greater joy than to know that you are walking in the truth. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yea, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Why are you living in Jesus Christ? Because he loved me. You mean an old sinner like God, McDaniel? Yes. Every one of us is sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. But I don't want to pay the payment for sin to you. When Jesus Christ has already paid that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. I don't want that. I don't want that for you. God does not want that for you. Elders, be faithful to God. Serve God faithfully. Know your responsibility and discharge it. Deacons, you be faithful to God. Serve the Lord. Do what he tells you. Why? Because you want to be, after death, what you claim to be. And preachers, all of us, have that grave responsibility. Mothers and daddies and grandmas and grandpas. If a child has a good grandma and a good grandpa. I can just tell you, get me started talking about my 9-year-old grandson. He's into this Hot Wheel things now. He wants me to pick him up every time I go to a garage sale or anywhere else. Like, if you've got any old Hot Wheels, the red line around the wheels of the 1960s, I'm throwing you out a clue here. The red lines around that 1960s, guess what? Those things are valuable. Why, I think Mark sold one of them for $50 or $60. On eBay. Can you imagine anybody, a little Hot Wheel you buy for 99 cents? Well, my grandson, he's trying to get himself all educated on a lot of things, and he'll tell me, Peepaw, Every time you find me a hot one. I don't want a matchbox. Boy, isn't that something? But I want a hot wheel. And when you find them, bring them to me, people. And guess what? In our guest room, he's got his place. And oh my, all the stuff that he's accumulating. Kind of like his grandpa accumulating a lot of stuff. I want to be a Christian in this life. For my grandson and my family's sake, I want them to be able to say their his grandpa, he calls me people. People, you serve God. And I want to serve God too. Friend, why are we faithful? Because we want to go to heaven. Because we want to please God. Because we're going to die. And we want an existence after death that will be with the God of heaven. But then John writes to Gaius. Not only does he say to Gaius, you're beloved of God. Oh, I rejoice because you walk in the truth. But Gaius, what you're doing to others, you're helping them. You are a fellow helper to the truth. We therefore, John writes, ought to receive such that we might be our fellow helpers in the truth. Christ has no hands but our hands to do His work today. He has no feet but our feet to lead men in the way. He has no tongue but our tongue to tell men how He died. He has no help but our help to bring them to His side. We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message, given in word and deed. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? What if our hands are busy with other work than His? What if our feet are walking where sin's allurement is? What if our tongue is speaking of things His lips would spurn? How can we hope to help Him or welcome His return? Tabitha, I may have told you this, but I'm going to use it as an illustration. When she was about 4 years old, she was in the backyard on West Pasadena where we lived, and had cerebral palsy, and she couldn't walk, so I was cutting some branches, and her mother brought her out, and finally just, it was a pretty day, and set her down there where she could crawl. And she looked up at me and she said, Daddy, I want to help you. Tell me, friends, how much help can a little child just crawling at age 4 be to you? Well, I'll tell you, the biggest help I ever got from anybody. She took a branch and put it under her arms and she pulled forcibly across the yard to where I had the pile of branches. I watched her as she went and I'd go walking back and forth. But when she finally got there, there's all those branches that I'd laid up there. And she took the branch that she had in her hand and she laid it on that pile. And her little eyes looked up at me, those brown eyes. And I'll never forget as long as I live. And she said to me, Daddy, I did it. I want to help you. I want to tell you something. These little children get close to your heart. And your own children can truly stir. Being a fellow helper in the kingdom of God. Gaius, you're a man. The people talk about you because you're a man of truth. You're beloved, I love you. Gaius, you're faithful. And Gaius, you're a fellow helper in the kingdom of God. And someone wrote, even though I am quite small, I can be of help to all. I can use my hands and feet and my mouth to sweetly speak. I'll be a helper. I'll be a helper. I'll be a helper. And I will please the Lord. A helper I will be. There are many passages that we could use to propel us to be helpers in the kingdom of God. Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them that are the household of faith. Matthew 25, 31 through 46, where Jesus talks about that great day when we'll all be gathered before the judgment of Jesus. And He'll say to those on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But there will be those on His left hand, and He'll say to them, depart. Yes, Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Be a doer of the Word to reflect the glory and majesty of the Son of God. Christians are a reflection of He who lives within us. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And Paul said to Corinthians, I have determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Back January the 20th, 1961, I'd gone to Cleveland, Ohio to visit my folks. I was attending David Lipscomb College at the time. It was the inauguration address. I was with my dad, never will forget. And I never will forget so impressively when John F. Kennedy, in that inauguration address on January the 20th, 1961, he said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. May I use that this morning in conclusion to say to you and to say to me, ask not what the church can do for you. Ask what you can do for the church. Yes, are we like Gaius? Are we strong spiritually, stronger than we are physically? Are we faithful? Do we show concern for those who are lost? Are we fellow helpers? Do we pitch in and do all that we can to advance the cause of Jesus Christ? Do we cooperate with each other as workers for the Lord? I suggest you this morning, here in this letter that we've opened, a letter that was written by John, a letter that was written to one that he loved so much, Gaius. And he said to us, in the church there's a man whose name was Gaius. And this man is commended of God. This man is my well-beloved. This man is a servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight, there are other two people that John writes about in this little letter. Hopefully we'll open it up and hear about a man named Diotrephes and another man named Demetrius. This morning, if you're in this audience and you're not ready to meet the Lord, oh, why not now? Why not believe in Jesus with all of your heart? Repent of your sins, confess His name, and now be baptized. Here is water. What doth hinder you to be baptized? And if you're a child of God and you haven't lived faithfully, make it right. Ask God to forgive you. We're ready to assist you in any way we can. We've opened a letter about a man that lived in New Testament days who was a man that was living right. You can too in 2017. We can be people like these people that are commended of God because of our work in the kingdom of God. If you're subject to any wages, invitation. Won't you come and obey him while together we stand?